Amen. I want to look at the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if God will be our help for just a little while. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your place, stand with an honor reading God's Word. I want to read the first 16 verses of God be our help and just give you what the Lord's laid on our heart to help the church tonight. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if a woman be uncovered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither is the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." As I look at this tonight, I want to preach for just a little while, if God will be my help, on partnership and the order in the universe. Partnership and the order in the universe. I want to say tonight that God set something up here when He created this thing, and He set it up just the way He wanted it. I don't know how many Dr. Jekylls and Mr. Hydes want to come along and change it. It's still the order that God set it up, and we shouldn't change it. We shouldn't mess with what God has ordained. And He set this thing up, and Paul says here that if you'd be followed, that you'd just be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And he praises for the brethren. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I delivered them to you." Paul said, "There's some things that I've delivered to you, and those things I've delivered to you has come from God, and you need to keep what I give you." Amen. That's pretty logical, isn't it? Paul said, "Listen, I spoke to you as God give it to me, and if I spoke to you as God give it to me, then you ought to do what God says." That's pretty plain and simple. That's about as simple as it gets. Listen, if God said it, then it's up for us to do. It's up for us to be mindful of what God says, and that's all there is to it. God said it, and I believe it. Whether I believe it or not, it's still said by God, and so we ought to just listen to God. Amen. Amen. God is supreme. He is our God. He's still in control. He still knows what's going on, and He still knows what's best. Amen. Amen. God's not some old codger sitting up on a cloud somewhere, nodding off, don't know what's going on. God's the same yesterday and forever. He changeth not. He's still my God today, and He's God supreme of this world, universe tonight. And He created it. He created a partnership for Himself, and He created this universe in an order, and He expects us to maintain that order. Amen. He give us some things to help us along this walk of life. And I'm so afraid that we've turned our back from God. We've tried to run off in our own direction. And we've just let God down. Yeah. And you know what happens when we let God down? Brother, we let our folks down. We let people down. We let this world down when we let God down. Amen. But Paul said there's some ordinance here. There's some guidance here if we just listen to God. Look what he says in verse 3. He said, "But I would have you to know." He says, "I'll have you to know that there is this partnership and there's an ordinance, that way, there's a way that God's got it set up." He says, "I want you to know that. I want you to understand something." Now, I want you to notice Paul's given this here, these examples here, and he's given it here before he gives about the Lord's Supper, those sacraments of God. I mean, that precious thing that we ought to highly esteem as an ordinance from a God of glory. Some things that the Lord Jesus Christ said that we were to observe and to keep. And it's funny to me. Well, it's not funny to me. It's just the God of glory that gives us this part here before He gives us those ordinances. Must be pretty important. Amen. In other words, what God's saying, he said, we need to get some things in line, some things set up in here so that we can do that. That's right in the eyes of God. So he says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So there's the order of the thing. Amen. He said, the head of the man is Christ. Christ Jesus is our head. Amen. Hey, he's all we got. He's our all in all. He's our everything. Fellas, tonight, if God ain't your everything, then you've missed the boat. Amen. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Kinsman Redeemer. Amen. He's all that we need. He's altogether lovely. And said, he is the head of the man. And the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. That's the order that God said. Now, I didn't say it. Now, don't get mad at me tonight because I ain't the one said this. It wasn't no brother Paul that said it, but it was God Almighty that put her down. He said, this is the way it was designed to be. But you know what's happened? We've got everything out of order. Amen. We've got everything out of order. We've deviated from the plan that God had for us, and we're in a mess. That's why we got people coming around in the world, and they don't know whether it's a he's or she's or it's. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's what it is. We've lost our place in the universe. We've lost our place in the scheme of what God's way. God's got this thing set up. Amen. But God said, I got it set up from the very beginning. In the beginning, he created Adam. And he said, Adam, it wasn't right for him to be alone. So he said, I'll create for him a helpmeet. He said, I'm going to create for him one that's fit to be with him. That's going to complement who he is. Amen. Glory to God, ain't you glad of that? But we forget that so many times. But now listen, let's just go on this. It says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. And now in order to understand what we're going to discuss tonight, we got to look at the customs of the time. We got to realize that the Jews still today, when I was over there a few years ago in Jerusalem, if you go down to the Wailing Wall and pray, it's a Israeli-occupied territory. Those Jews control the Wailing Wall. So if you, and they go down there to the Wailing Wall and they roll up, they write prayers. And they'll roll them up in a little piece of paper and they'll go down there and they'll stuff them in the cracks in between them stones in that wall. But now, if you know, in order to go down there and pray, you've got to cover your head. You can't go to the Wailing Wall and pray with your head uncovered. Them Jews will grab you and drag you off. Amen? They won't put up with it. Because they believe that you got to be covered. Now they believe that because of Moses. Because Moses come down, the people couldn't look upon him, and the glory was starting to depart from him. He had the veil upon him because of his shining forth, and people couldn't stand to look upon because he'd been in the presence of God. And so that's where they get that. That you got to have your head covered. Amen? So he said here that if a man have his head covered, he dishonors his head. But see, we've changed situations. We're no longer living under that same type. Amen. We're living under the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we cover our head, it's a dishonor to our head. Our head is Jesus. Amen. We can't cover up our head at all. We ought to magnify and glorify. We ought to show forth our head everywhere we go. Amen. Listen, fellas, it's up to us to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to us to just uncover him and show him to everybody we see. Right? Amen. Because we don't want to cover him up. We don't want to cover up the Lord. Now the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ is man's authority. And we should never dishonor that authority. He said, if you're covering that up, he said, you're covering up saying, hey, look, we can't go face to face with God. But the Bible says that we can come in before the throne of grace boldly today because of what Jesus Christ done for us. Amen. We can come face to face with God because that veil has been ripped from the top to the bottom. It's no longer in the way. We can come into the presence of a holy God. Amen. Ain't you glad of that tonight? Amen. Ain't you glad you don't have to go into a little old booth and talk to a man with it that ain't got enough sense to put his tie on right, put his tie on backwards and all that stuff and tell him how bad you've been? I'm glad tonight I can bow my head and pray to God and say, Lord, I love you and I'm sorry I've messed up. And the Bible said I've got an intercessor, which is Christ Jesus, my Lord, a mediator. And he said, yes, son, I know where you messed up and your sins is forgiven. Amen. Glory to God. I'm so glad tonight I can go to him. Glory to God. I can ask him to forgive my sin. And he will tonight. That's the God I'm a servant. Amen. But the Bible said we shouldn't cover up that head. Amen. We should be willing to magnify that everywhere we go. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, take the veil off, young, and say, we don't need it no more. But the Bible says here, it said every woman that prayeth and prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now the custom of the time was that the woman would wear the veil. And there was significance in that veil. It was her covering. And she would wear that, and it was a distinction to her. And wherever she went, she would wear that veil, and only her forehead and her eyes would show. Amen? She didn't go around uncovered. The woman, when she went out in the custom of this time, now listen to me, now they would wear the veil, and they would cover themselves when they went out on public. But I want to say that when they went out in public, the public had respect for them. The public knew who they were because of the attitude and the dress in which they dressed. They was dressed appropriate for the custom of the time, and it was a dress of magnificence, and it was a dress of acknowledgement. And when they went out, the people would spread apart, and they would allow the women that were covered to pass through. They wouldn't approach them, they wouldn't question them, and they would definitely not solicit them. Amen. They would treat them with respect. They would treat them with a high respect. They would regard them, esteem them high. Amen. So you can see what he's talking. When you get to breaking it down like this and seeing the customs, the manners and customs in which they live, you can begin to see how magnificent this text is when Paul begins to write it. Now, I know there's a lot of people say, well, old Paul, just an old male chauvinist pig. He don't care nothing about women. Let me tell you, God Paul loved women. Amen. He loved them and he ministered to them because they ministered to him. Amen. And he respected them in a great and a magnificent way. He had a great respect for the women in the church. Way it ought to be. Amen. But he said that if she's praying uncovered, then she dishonors her head. Now who is her head? Her husband. He said, if she goes out here and she's not covered like she's supposed to be covered, if she's not got on her veil, if she's not covered like the custom says she's supposed to be covered, then she's dishonoring her husband. She's bringing a reproach upon his name. And when she brings a reproach upon his name, guess who she's bringing a reproach upon? His God. Kind of puts the ball back in our court, don't fellas? Amen. Kind of takes us, we need to live just a little higher standard. Amen. We need to set our goals just a little bit higher today than what we set our goals. But if she said if she's uncovered, praying with her head uncovered, for that is even as one as if she were shaven. Now the custom was over. If a woman was shaven, then it would show that there was a association with Aphrodite. You know, the fertility goddess. And they would be prostitutes. And he said, if you're going to uncover yourself, you're going to just go any which way. They said, you'll be partaken as an immoral person in the eyes of the people and in the eyes of God. He said, see what God's saying? He said, there's a right and an orderly way to do things. Now, I'm going to get to the day in just a little bit, the day and hour we live in. But let me just cover this first to show you the manner of custom that Paul's talking to and the manner of the people that he's dealing with. So in verse 6 says, for if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be that she be a shame for her, a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. He said, hey, listen, if you're gonna go out without your veil and just go out like everybody else, you might as well just shave your head and just be like these ungodly things that's running around the world. But he said, hey, listen, but it's better if you just cover yourself. Just do that that's right. He said, show a little bit of modesty. I'm telling you, there's not very much modesty in the world today. This world that we live in today is the most immodest place that I've ever seen. And it's getting worse and worse. I'm ashamed of the way people dress. Not what we'll cover dress, but we need to be careful about how we dress. I mean, we dress like God can't see us. I wonder if God showed up at our house, I wonder how many times we'd have to run change our clothes. I wonder how many times we'd go out to town if the Lord showed up, we'd run and hide behind something because of the way that we're dressed. It's just immodesty. And it seems like nobody cares no more. But I want to say God cares. God holds us to a higher standard. Amen. But you know why the world's dressing so immodest? To attract attention. We do it to attract attention. We want that's why we paint ourselves and tattoo ourselves and pierce ourselves and wear these clothes and expose all this skin. Because we want to attract attention. Amen. Why else would you do it? It's just immodesty. It's to attract attention. It's to expose the body. We're not supposed to be doing that. If we're children of God, we ought to cover ourselves up. Amen? It's only right. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's and a lot of these youngins, they do it. I know why I do it. It's because it makes them popular. It makes them popular. So they run around seeking to be popular. Well, I won't say it don't make you popular with God. And I say it don't make you popular down at the church house. Amen. We expect God's people to cover up. Amen. I don't want to be embarrassed for you. Amen. A lot of times I'm embarrassed for people. I see these young, and some of these men, young men, run around here in these clothes with their hind end hanging out and everything else. I tell you, God ain't in that. Amen. God ain't in, I don't care who you are, God ain't in that. Amen. But you need to cover yourself up. Praise God. That's what God expects. And these young people do it because we say, well, you know, if I don't dress in such way, so then I won't be accepted. Good. You don't need to be accepted in a crowd like that. Amen. You ought to be alienated from them. Amen. You ought to separate yourself from them. Amen. Praise God. And then there's the big one. So a preacher, you know, it's the style. You know, little Jenny, she can run around and show everything she got. Cause it, preacher, she's just been in style. You know, that makes God sick. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth tonight. Praise God. It does. It makes God. Hey, we're not supposed to be in style. Amen. We're supposed to be godly people seeking a godly way. Amen. Separate. Bible says we're to be a separate people. Separated to God. Amen. Bless His holy name. Amen. You still love me, I know. I'm just telling you the truth. Nobody else will. I will. Young as I'll tell you the truth. Mom and Daddy may not tell you the truth, but I will. Praise God. Put your clothes on. Act right. Amen. It's loose living ain't no good. It's all these ladies that was shaving, and they showed that they had loose morals. That they was apt to do anything. Amen. Amen. You know, you go out high dress. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. You go out high dress, showing all kinds of flesh. What do you think they're going to think? Amen. You say, well, preacher, they oughtn't to think that. Why not? They're human beings. Praise God. The Bible said, give us enough sense to cover ourselves. Praise God. When God got over in the garden and they realized they was naked, God gave them a covering. Amen. Had to offer a sacrifice so they could be covered up. God don't expect no less from us. Amen. Boy, I ain't getting much shouting tonight. Amen. But I'm telling you the truth. Praise God. God expects us to be good moral people. He expects us to stay covered up. Amen. But enough of that. Verse 7, it says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. For as much as he is the image of God, of the image and glory of God. So here we see what's taking place. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. Amen. But the Bible says in Genesis that we were created in the likeness and the image of a holy God. Amen. He said we've got to the place now that we can become that image again because of what Christ did for us. Said he's paid that price. Amen. So that we can become what he wants us to be. is indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Why? Because we're created in his image, in his likeness. Created he them. Amen? That's what he done for us. Created us in his likeness, in his image. Amen. What? Hey, listen, we're in the image of God. Whew. Praise the Lord. That's something to get a hold of, ain't it? You say, well, I look like a god to you. Amen. Praise God, I may not look like it now, but praise God, there's something down inside me. You ain't got to see that yet. But praise God, there's a likeness in there. God, hey, he's a working on. Glory to God, in a little while, I'm going to be just like him. Amen. Bless his name. But now listen to what it says. But the woman is the glory of the man. Did you get that? The woman is the glory of the man. You say, well, how could that be? Let me show you. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. You remember the rib? Small old Adam's over there by himself and God trying to tend all him critters by himself. Had to take care of all the vineyard dressing and all the critters all by himself. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. He's going to have some help. I can see this right now. He just don't have it. He can't do four or five things at once. So God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he went in there and he took out a rib. Now Adam was made from the dust of the earth. Amen. That's why a man, when you go to get ready to come off the job and you get ready to go to bed and you pull your shirt up and you got ring around the collar. Amen. That's the dirt wearing off. Amen. Women don't get that unless you get your makeup on your collar, because they're not made from dirt. Amen. And they're not made from sugar and spice and everything nice either. But they're made from the man. God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He took that rib out of him. I'm talking about that most intimate part, that part that was close to his heart. Amen? He took that part that was close to his heart, and he said, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to create him a helpmeet. Praise the Lord. He said, a man is not for a woman, but the woman for the man. So he took the rib out, and he created a woman, a helpmeet, and he gave him to Adam, and Adam said, woo, woman. Whoa, man. Yeah. And there she was. Amen. So he got, hey, it's in God's creation. He done it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, this ain't funny. It is. It's not funny. It's real. Amen. It's real. Could you imagine Adam when he woke up and God says, Adam, this is your new helper. And I said, well, okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. So I got me something here. He said, but the woman is the glory of the man. He said, hey, man, look at here. When I can just see him as he put his arm around her. Come here, honey. Come here, hurry. I can just see him. I can just see old Adam as he put his arm around her. Jack took her around there. He said, come on, let me show you all. Hey, look here, donkey. Woo! This is my woman. God done give her to me. Amen. Look here, zebra. This is my woman. God give her to me. Amen. Could you imagine it? I mean, he was proud of that. God says it's his glory. Amen. He was rejoicing, praising God for his woman. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Old Paul wasn't missing it. He said, this thing's special. This ain't something to be taken lightly. What God's put together. Amen. But then he goes on, he says at the woman, the woman is the glory of the man. The glory of the man. Come here a minute. Come here again. He said, this is his woman. Give to him specifically. Amen. Just like Teresa is my wife, God give her to me. Amen. She's mine. She's not to walk behind me. She's not to go before me. She's to be by my side. Amen. She's my glory. Amen. She's my glory. And she's my queen. Amen. This is my queen. Amen. She is my queen, and we walk side by side. And why, glory to God, and I uplift her and I magnify her, and she honors me and she respects me. And the more she honors me, the more she respects me, the more I lift her up as my queen. Amen. She's doing what she ought to do. She follows me. She fixes my breakfast. She fixes my clothes. She laces them out. She helps me to look right when I preach. She gives me she takes care of things at the house so that I can take time to study and prepare. She's there for, she's my helpmeet. Amen. I don't know what I'd do without her. But I love her. She's mine. I'm proud of her. God gave her to me, and she is my glory. I tell everybody, I said, this is my wife. She takes care of me. She helps me. She's there for me. When nobody else says, when it seems like nobody else cares, she's there. She's never let me down. Amen. Praise God, she's always been there. Praise the Lord. Amen. She's my queen. Amen. Said, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause art the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now that power is speaking about authority. Authority. The authority. What's her authority? Her authority is the man. Because he said, looking at that, the angels of heaven's looking down and they seeing what's taking place in this relationship, in this thing that's going on. For the glory of God. And boy, it's just a magnificent thing. It's a splendid thing. And the angels of glory are watching. They say, woo, praise God. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Glory to God. It's the way it's designed to be. So for as a woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. What he's saying here, he said that a woman can't be without a man. A man can't be without a woman. Boy, that throws a monkey wrench in the sodomites' philosophy, don't it? Amen? You know what I would to God that do? Take every one of them, put them on a desert island. In about 50 years, they wouldn't be nothing on that island but the lizards. Amen? That God never created Adam and Eve. Adam and Steve, he created Adam and Eve. And he put them together on purpose. But he said that the woman is of the man and the man's of the woman. And he says, but all things are of God. He said, God created all. God set this thing up this way. This is the way that it's supposed to be. And it's that way from the very beginning. Amen? You can see it. That's the way God designed it to be. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Paul's writing here again to the Ephesians, and he said, he's talking about submitting. And that's what a wife's supposed to do to her husband, submit to him. Amen? Show reverence, and it says, submitting yourselves one to another, how? In a fear of God. He said, with a godly fear. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wow. Did you get that? He said, submit yourself unto your own husband, not somebody else's, unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Amen. Said, you've dedicated yourself to him. You're dedicating yourself to him, and praise God, and you're doing that. That's pleasing to God in that relationship. But now listen, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now listen to this. Here, fellas, this is where our responsibility comes in. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Amen? The husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is of the church. Hey, that's quite a bit of responsibility. We have a responsibility. If our queen's going to submit to us, if our queen's going to be there for us, if our queen, then we've got to be willing to lift her up as Christ did the church. Even as Christ the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Amen? Did you get that? He said there's a special relationship there at the very point of being the Savior, the man being the Savior of the wife. Now that same word Savior here is the one that they use in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which has the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation means is the same word that's used here for Savior. For that protection, that guidance, that deliverance from whatever. Amen. So what Paul's saying here said he is the Savior, deliverer, the rescuer of the body. So these women livers, man, they're just throwing everything God's got for them out the door, out the window, and saying, I don't want none of that. They're crazy. Amen. I believe God's got it figured out pretty good. Amen. He's got it figured out pretty good. We just get in His plan. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen? Just like the church is subject to Christ, the woman's supposed to be subject to her husband. But now listen to this. There's got to be something that the husband's got to do. See, it's not a one-way street. This thing's a joint effort. Now, you young people here thinking about getting married. The Bible says that they leave and they cleave and they become one. So it means to work together as one. But he said, the husbands, love your wives. Now, he didn't say, husbands, try to love your wife. Love your wife if you can. You know, on them good days. No, he said, husbands, love your wife. Amen? Love your wife. Just straight up. He said, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church. He said, you love Christ, you love your wife like Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? To the point that he gave himself for it. You're supposed to love your wife to the point that you'll give your life for her. Amen. Your husband's awful weak. You're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church enough to give yourself for her. Amen. Amen. A man that won't protect his wife ain't worth killing. Amen. A man that won't stand in front and take whatever comes ain't no account. I'm just telling you. Amen. You're supposed to love your wife. You're supposed to be there for her. Amen. He said that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now he's relating the wife to the church. He said, hey, it's husband, it's your responsibility to love your wife and take care of her so that you can so that she'll be in such a fine shape that there'll be no spots or blemishes in her. Amen? You're going to keep her clean and pure and undefiled. You say, well, preacher, how am I going to do that? By loving her like Christ loved the church. Amen? By showing her that love, as Peter said, knowing her in an understanding way. What does that mean, Pastor? It means according to knowledge or an understanding way. You know what she likes, you relate with her, you communicate with her, you have a relationship, amen. And it begins to work things out. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do you know you can't love you? You're going to love yourself. I don't know anybody that don't like their self. I guess there's some crazies out there that don't like their self. But you should like yourself. Amen? If you like yourself, then you're to love your wife like you love yourself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nurtures and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church, for members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Amen. That would do away with a whole lot of separations, wouldn't it? So, well, okay. She said, wife gets mad. She says, Brady, I'm leaving you. I'm not going to stand around here another minute. She grabs up her suitcase and heads out the door, and she looks around behind you, and she looks around behind her. You know who's behind her? Bradley with his suitcase. Said, honey, where are we going? Amen? I'm talking about, hey, what God put together, the way it's supposed to be. Said, I'm going to go with you. We're going to work this thing out. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's done in the Lord. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. But never, look at this, verse 33. He said, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love, so love his wife, even as himself, and his wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. When you start giving that love and loving her like Christ loved the church, then she'll start showing you that respect. Amen. She'll start showing you that respect that you deserve. A lot of, hey, listen, I tell you what, a lot of these rascals don't deserve no respect. There's a fellow the other day, and it just makes me so mad. I told him about it too. He said, "Preacher, my old lady." I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, "Who are you talking about?" He said, "My old lady." I said, "You talking about your wife? The mother of your children?" "Yeah." I said, "Son," I said, "you shouldn't call her your old lady." I said, "She's your wife. She's part of you." I said, "If there's something about her that you don't like, it's not probably not her fault, it's probably yours." Amen. He got kind of quiet. "I don't like that. That's not right." But he said there's ways to do this thing. And he said, and Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that a lot of it's just good common sense. He said, "Judging yourself," verse 13, "is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered?" He said, he asked questions. He said, "Is it comely? Is it right? Is it reasonable?" But he said, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" Amen. You know, it's pitiful when you got to go down the road and you see this lady standing, you know, on the side of the road and or in a store or something, said checkout line, and you get behind her and you're waiting on her to check out, you know, and so you can go on, and she turns around and she's got more beard than you got. Amen. It's some man with hair down to his waist. Amen. The Bible says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Praise God, that's for a woman. He said, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Amen? That's that cover. Or in other words, that replaces that veil that they used to wear. Amen? It's a covering for her. It's her glory. Praise God. That's why God gave women such beautiful hair. And that's why Tara's got a job taking care of your hair. You're supposed to have hair. Amen? Praise the Lord. But Paul's saying this, and he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to realize that there's a partnership with God. There's an order the way things ought to be. And he said, we just need to become part of that order. And I tell you what, it don't hurt you. If we can ever get this thing in order, we can understand how God wants it to be, we can begin to have a relationship with the Holy God. You know, and I want to say this even, fellas, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, now you fellas look at him, especially you that's fixing to get married, Justin, Gregory, if you can't love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have a love for Jesus, you'll never be able to love your wife like you need to. You'll never be able to love and take care of her. You'll never be able to take care of your family and love them the way that you need to. Amen? But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you make him preeminent in your life. Then you can love your wife like she needs to be loved. And she can give you the honor that's due you because of that love that you're showing and that guidance, that leadership that you're trying to portray. And it all begins, then guess what? It just all begins to fall into place. How could that be? Because could it be that it's of God? Amen. But now Paul goes on and he says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He said, hey, listen. He said, that wearing the veil stuff, he said, we don't do that no more. You know, he said, it's not our custom to that. It's not our custom today. But he said, it's never wrong to do right. He said, we're not going to argue over it. But he said, hey, listen. He said, we ought to be pleasing to God. We ought to do that that's right. The way God's laid it out in his perfect plan. And then Paul would say, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul would say, just follow my example. Just look at me. Just follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? I wonder today, youngins, in our Christian life, are we following the Lord? That word follower, they said, be ye followers of me. It means to imitate. He said, be imitators of me. Now, Paul must have had a pretty good relationship with God and with his Lord. Because he said, if you'll just imitate me, you'll do all right. I wonder today, I got thinking, I wonder, could we say today, men, women, youngins, could we say, hey, just do like I do. and you'll be pleasing to God. Just do like I do, and you'll be pleasing to God. I wonder how people would act. I wonder how pleasing to God they would be. He said, just follow me, even as I follow Christ. What about you today? Have we got this thing in order? Do we understand where God wants us to be? God's got an order to everything. And if we ever get in our place in that order, things get a whole lot better. Amen. Because God begins to help us and we begin to get in His will. And I know I preach a lot of times on, you know, just being in the will of God. Doing it the way God wants us to. Well, He gives us a book. He gives us a road map. Tells us how to get there and the way. All we got to do is just follow Him. Amen. But tonight, I wonder, could we tell folks to just imitate us? Would you want people just to imitate you? To live and to act like you do? Paul was so confident in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, you just do what I do and you'll be all right. Gives us a little bit of room for growth, doesn't it? Gives us a little bit of room for growth. A closeness, a relationship. But that's what we're trying to get. That's our goal, that's our motive today, is to have that relationship. To be just a little bit more like our Lord. So that we could say, just imitate me as I imitate Christ. Amen. That's pleasing to God. That's pleasing to our Lord. Somebody else can follow in our footsteps as we follow Christ.